This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. I'm Dr. John Newsom, the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in Houston, Texas. Our address is 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. I'd love for you to come by and worship with us. That's Word of Faith Christian Center Church International, right in the middle of Acres Home at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. That's Houston, Texas, 77088. I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter. God bless you, Apostle Hunter. Thank you for the great work that you're doing. I tell you, this is a powerful man of God, and I'm so grateful to be on his team. Glory to God. I'd like to say hello to everyone who's listening all around the world. I know God has an exciting word for you tonight. I tell you, God's word is so good. I tell you, His word is life. Your life is much better in His word. And so I know He has an exciting word that He's going to, a powerful word that He's going to speak into your spirit tonight. I tell you, the word of God is good. He's good, and His mercy endured forever. Okay, I'll open up with prayer. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We appreciate you. We adore you. You are the only true living God. There is no other God besides you. I tell you, you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're so wonderful. You're so kind. Yahweh, Yahweh, Yud, He, Vav, He. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're so wonderful, and I just bless your holy name. Thank you for all your goodness. I'd like to pray a special blessing upon Apostle Hunter. God bless him and his household, and continue to bless the work of his hands, Father. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with me, I pray that you have your Bibles. Also, let me give you my telephone number. Give me a call at 832-454-5062. I'd love to hear from you. That's 832-454-5062. You can reach me at that number. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'll be reading out of the Aramaic English New Testament. The Aramaic English New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "What then will we say of these things? If Elohim is for us, who is against us?" The King James read like this. This is how the King James read. "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us," if, put a box around that if. The if means that there are conditions. There are conditions that we have to meet in order for God to be for us. That if is a big word. That if means there's conditions. There's conditions that we have to meet in order for God to be for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The message God has given me for you tonight is when God is for you. When God is for you. Who in their right mind would be against you when God is for you? Bad arithmetic. That wouldn't make any sense at all. Never go against someone who God is for. When God is for you, who would have the nerves to be against you? When God is for you, you don't need everybody for you, just the right person. And that's God. You don't need everybody for you. Just the right person. And that's God. That's who we need for us. We really need him for us. When God is for you, who can be against you? The message is when God is for you. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. Now, we know that God was for the whole, all of mankind in the beginning. When the fall of man took place, God was, he was for all men. He wanted to restore all mankind back to himself. He wanted to give all mankind a break because man had fallen. Men were, they were on their way to hell for eternity. But God decided, I'm going to be for mankind. I'm going to give you a break. He went and died on the cross for us. Yeshua went and died on the cross for us and rose from the dead with all power in heaven and in earth. I tell you, he was for us. That's why he died on the cross. He was for us, and all those who are for him now, he'll be for them. See, there's conditions. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's conditions. God is not just automatically for you. He's for those who are for him. He's for those who are for him. He died for you on the cross, showing you that, hey, I'm for you. I want you to win in life. I want you to succeed. I'm for you. He showed us that ultimately he was for all mankind. But in order for him to continue to be for us, we have to be for him. We're going to have to accept him. Number one, there has to be some acceptance. When God is for you, if you want God to be for you, there has to be some acceptance of him. We have to accept him. We have to accept him. If we want him for us, we have to accept him. The message is when God is for you. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when God is for you. It's a wonderful thing. You got it made when God is for you. And you don't have to worry about a thing when God is for you. The point, the question is God for you? How do I get God to be for me? How do we get God to continue to be for us? Ultimately, we know that he was for all mankind. That's why he died on the, Yeshua died on the cross for our sins. But in order to, for him to continue to be for us, we're going to have to accept him. We're going to have to accept him. We're going to have to accept him. We're going to have to accept him, his word. He and his word are one. We're going to have to accept him. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And look at verse 33, Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. The scripture says, Yeshua says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. You see, God will reject you if you reject him. Yeshua will reject you if you will reject him. You see, if you want him to be for you, you've got to accept him. There has to be some acceptance. We have to accept him. Number one, God is looking for acceptance. He's looking for us to accept him. He's looking for us to accept him. He's for you when you're for him. We're talking about when God is for you. There's nothing more powerful than God being for you. When God is for you, he's more than the whole world, if the whole world would be against you. When God is for you, there's nothing more important in life. You're talking about a mover and a shaker. God is a mover and a shaker. Is there anything too hard for God? He has all power. We want him for us. We want him on our side. And in order for that to happen, there has to be, number one, acceptance. We have to accept him. He just said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, that if we would deny him, he'll deny us. If we reject him, he'll reject us. So God is not automatically going to continue to be for you. If you at any time reject him, Matthew chapter 10, verse 33 says he'll reject you. He'll deny you before the Father in heaven. Oh, my God. Number two, the message is when God is for you. How do we get God to be for us? Number one, we got to accept him. We got to accept him. Number two, we have to honor him. We have to honor God. We're going to have to show him, give him some honor. That Hebrew word is kabed. Kabed is the Hebrew word for honor. And it means to make weighty. It means to promote. If we want God to promote us, we got to promote him. It means to glorify. It means to magnify. If we want God to make us big in life, we got to make him big in life. That word magnify means to make big. It's like you put a magnifying glass over a little ant. When you do that, if you put a magnifying glass over anything small, it becomes what? Big. Well, God wants us to magnify him. When we magnify him, he'll magnify us. When God is for you, how do we get God to be for us? Number one, we've got to accept him. We've got to accept his word. People go unhealed because they won't accept him. They won't accept his word. There's a healing word in the Bible, and people will not get healed because they don't what? Accept. I remember when Yeshua, Jesus, was in a village one day, and the Bible says that he wanted to do a mighty work there. He wanted to heal everybody there, but the Bible says that he could only heal a few folk. And he marveled because of their what? Unbelief. He wanted to heal everybody, but he couldn't because everybody didn't accept his word of healing. They didn't believe. They didn't accept him. So they went away sick. But those who believed, those who accepted his word of healing, they got healed. You see, when God is for you, to get God to be for you, number one, you've got to accept him and you've got to accept his word. His word and him are one. So if you see his word on healing, by his stripes, we are healed. Well, when you accept his word, you're accepting him. He's for you when you accept him. Healing is for you when you accept healing. He and his word are one. So let's know that he became poor that we may be rich. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich, and he added no sorrow with it. So it's obvious. The Bible says that he wish above all things in 3 John that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. We see that there's a word that says he wants us prosperous, he wants us healthy. Amen. But we have to what? Accept that word of prosperity. We have to accept him. We have to accept his word. You can't say that you're self-God and you don't accept his word. He and his word are one. Jesus and his word are one. You can't say that I accept you, Yeshua, but I don't accept your word. Well, no, it don't work like that. In order to accept, if you accept him, you accept his word too. There has to be some acceptance. You have to accept him. And number two, there has to be honor. We got to honor him, promote him, magnify him. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to go as far as I can tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 2, and look at verses 30 through 36. 30 through 36. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor. You see that? God says those that honor him, he will honor. What does that word honor mean? Well, the word honor in Hebrew is kabed, kabed. And it means to make weighty. You want to be a heavy hitter? You want to be big in life? Make him big in life. You want to be promoted in life? That word kabed, honor, in Hebrew means to promote. You want to be promoted in life? Promote him. Lift him up. Tell other people how big and how great and how wonderful our God is. That's promoting him. And the scripture says right here that when we honor him, kabed him, He will kabbade us. He will honor us. That word kabbade means to promote. So if we promote God, he said, I'll promote you, good God Almighty. If you take God to another level with the people, lift him up. God will lift you up. He'll promote you. You promote him, he'll promote you. You glorify him, he'll glorify you. You magnify him, that word magnify means to make big. You make God bigger than what he is, he'll make you bigger than what you are. He'll make you big. He'll blow you up. He'll take you to a whole nother level in life. I'm talking about tonight when God is for you. How do you get God to be for you? Number one, you've got to accept him and accept his word. Number two, you've got to honor him. Kabbade is the Hebrew word. You got to promote him. You got to glorify him, magnify him, make him big. And he said that he'll make you big. He'll honor you. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. He says, I'll honor for them that honor me. In verse 30, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, you don't want to despise God. That word despise means to belittle him, count him as nothing and worthless. Count the things of God as nothing and worthless and meaningless. Belittle, belittle. We never want to belittle the things of God. This radio station, this radio program, don't belittle it. Anything that God has you doing, don't belittle it. People who make it a little thing to go to church, don't belittle going to church. God says forsake not the assembling together of the saints. We're not to belittle anything of God. Don't count it as worthless and meaningless and small. No, we're not to belittle anything of God. That's what it means to despise. He said that if you despise him, if you despise the things of God, he says that you shall be lightly esteemed. Lightly esteemed. That Hebrew word is kalal. Kalal. To be lightly esteemed. It means to be cursed. So when you despise the things of God, belittle the things of God, you will be cursed. A curse will come upon you. Kalal, you shall be lightly esteemed. That Hebrew word is kalal for lightly esteemed. Kalal, and it means to be cursed. You bring a curse upon you when you belittle the things of God. You hear people say, oh, I don't take all that going to church. Oh, I don't take all that giving money. It don't take all that. It does take all that. And stop belittling the things of God before a curse comes upon you. Don't despise the things of God. We need to honor the things of God, not despise the things of God. We need to honor the things of God. We need to honor him. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. So in order to get God to be for us, number one, we got to accept him. If we accept him, he's not going to turn us away. We got to accept him. And number two, we got to honor him, magnify him, promote him, glorify him, and he'll honor you. He'll promote you. He'll raise you up. He'll lift you up. He's a wonderful God. And he makes his word so plain and so simple for us to understand. You see, we don't need everybody on our side, just one, and that's him. If we can just get him on our side, we got it made. Get him on our side. He'll gather other people to us and get other people on our side with us. But the main person we need on our side is him, when God is for you. And number three, God is looking for us to accept him. Number two, honor him. And number three, respect him. You want God on your side? Respect him. R-E-S-P, who used to sing that song, Respect? What was her name? Aretha Franklin. Yeah, she used to sing that song, Respect. Yeah, she used to sing that song. Give God some respect, and he'll be for you when you respect him. Look at Psalm 103. I was just getting ready to start trying to sing the song, but I'm not going to even go there because I'm not a singer. We need to give God some respect. Psalm 103, and look at verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That word fear right there means respect, that respect him. That respect him. We need to show God some respect. And then he'll be for us. He'll be for us when we respect him. When God is for you. Now, we saw how to get God to be for us. Because the Bible says, if God be for us. That means there are some conditions. When you see that word if, there are some conditions that we have to meet in order for God to be for us. Number one, we got to accept him. Number two, we got to honor him. And number three, we got to respect him. When we do that, God will be for us. He will not turn you away. He will not reject you. You accept him, he'll accept you. You honor him, you promote him, he'll promote you. Respect him. Respect him. When God is for you, I tell you, it's a great thing when God is for you. When God is for you, there are more for you than there are against you. That's why it's so important that we get God to be for us. When we get God to be for us, it doesn't matter if millions come against you. There are going to be more for you than there are against you. I remember over in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Read it when you get a chance. Elisha, the Syrian army, had surrounded Elisha and Elisha's servant. Elisha's servant woke up and said, "Alas, master, we're surrounded by the enemy. We're surrounded by the enemy." And Elisha was cool as a cucumber. The Syrian army had them surrounded. But Elisha didn't panic because he knew God. He knew God was for him. Read it over in 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me take you there. 2 Kings chapter 6. And look at verses. And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That's what Elisha said. He was cool as a cucumber. Now his servant panicked. His servant was fearful because he saw that the Syrian army had them surrounded. He was scared for his life. But Elisha, just as cool as a cucumber, he said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him." And so I reckon Elisha's servant, he was just seeing him and Elisha. He just saw himself and Elisha. And I know he had to wonder, what is Elisha talking about? There's more that be for us than the enemy. I only see him and me. That's probably what Elisha's servant was saying. You see one, two, and we're surrounded by Syrian army. But look what Elisha did. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open up his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened up the young man's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. You see, there was more on Elisha's side and his servant's side than could be seen with the natural eye. But Elisha saw it, and he saw it with his spiritual eye. He saw that there was more on his side than there were of the enemy. And then God opened up the eyes of his servant, and his servant saw. You see, there's more for us than there are against us when God is for us. God was for Elisha. So there was more for Elisha than there were of the enemy. When you want more on your side than there are against you, you want God for you. You got to accept him and honor him and respect him. And when you do that, he's for you. And there's more for you than there are against you. Number two, you can call on him for help, and your enemy will turn back. you can call on God for help, and the enemy will turn back. When God is for you, the enemy of sickness and disease and poverty, that's an enemy. Death, even death, will have to turn back. That was an enemy. That was the last enemy that God, Yeshua, conquered on the cross, was death.
Yes.
Oh, death, where is your sting? He conquered death. He went to hell and back and rose from the dead. He conquered death. See, when God is for you, death can't even hurt you. Death can't even hurt you. It's an enemy. It has to turn back. I remember when I was in I was at a world conference in San Diego, California, and the driver, on the way back, we were in a church van, and the driver fell asleep behind the wheel around Tucson or Arizona, and that van was totaled. It turned over, it rolled over, and was totaled. Man, I got out of there alive, and everybody else came out of there alive because God was for us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The enemy death had to be turned back. See, and I didn't say Jesus. I just said, oh, see, he knows our moans and our groans. I said, oh, I remember that when we started rolling because I was asleep. I said, oh. And God knew my moan and groan. He knew exactly what I was saying. He knew what was in my heart. He knew what I was saying. And the enemy turned back. You see, when God is on your side, you can call on him for help, and your enemy will turn back. Look at Psalm 56 and verse 9. I need the enemy turning back in my life. Psalm 56, verse 9 says, look what the psalmist said. He said, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. You see, when God is for you, your enemy, not your enemy, your enemies, no matter what the enemy is, sickness, death, disease, poverty, those are enemies of God's children. The enemies have to turn back when God is for you. Look what he says right there, Psalm 56, verse 9. The message is when God is for you. When God is for you, when you call on him, the enemy has to turn back. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 56, 9. He says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies do what? Turn back. He says, this I know. He said, this I know, for God is what? For me. You see, when God is for you, you can expect, good God Almighty, you can expect for the enemies to turn back. They got to turn back.
Amen.
Death, disease, poverty, those are all enemies of God's children. They got to what? Turn back when God is for you. When God is for you, there are more for you than there are the enemy against you. When God is for you, you can call on him for help, and your enemies will turn back. When God is for you, evil plans will not prosper against you. When God is for you. Evil plans will not prosper against you when God is for you. Jeremiah 42, verse 11 says, be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord. Why? For I am with you. I'm for you. I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. Good God Almighty. Oh, glory to God. The devil desires to steal, kill, and destroy. He desires to mess up your life, and he even makes plans to mess up your life. But God said, don't be afraid, because I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm with you to save you. I'm with you to help you. I'm with you to deliver you. Good God Almighty. Oh, glory to God. That word save is Yasha. Yasha is the word for save. He said, I'm here to save you. That word in Hebrew, save, is Yasha. And it means to bring salvation. It means to bring prosperity. It means to deliver you. It means to preserve you. It means to get you the victory. Yasha. Yasha. Evil plans will not prosper against you when God is for you. Because he's here to what? To save you. And I see that my 30 minutes are up. When God is for you, there's more for you than there are of the enemy against you. You can call on him for help, and your enemies will turn back, and evil plans will not prosper against you. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, my brother. We just keep pressing in for the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah.